an entry-level contract, but it doesn't kick in until next year. So he could, if he wants, play in the American League here in May, if he would get cleared right now. You know what he's got to do? He is skating in Wisconsin, but he needs some final tests. He's not cleared to handle the puck at this time just yet. So once he gets that in, then potentially he could go down there and get a few games in. And if you're Dylan Holloway, it's a benefit. If you can get in and play 10, 12 American League games, bonus.
You're, what, reevaluated? Maybe he's good to go by the end of the month, listening to him speak at his availability. So, and you know what? This injury kind of flew under the radar a little bit, and he had surgery right away a couple days after it happened. It is beneficial for younger guys, especially when they know what the path forward is going to be for their career, to get a bit of a head start, get a taste of that pro lifestyle, get to know the guys he'll likely be playing with next season. Who knows? I mean, you go in and you compete for spots and jobs in camp, and that's why you have training camp. But, you know, in all likelihood, maybe he starts next year in Bakersfield, and that's just fine too. So this is, I think, good news all around. You hear the prognosis and progress in regard to his injury. It sounds like it's coming along. There's an opportunity. We'll see what the AHL does. You know, I think it was you, Greg.
Oh no, they're having playoffs just in their divisions.
Right, exactly. So here, an opportunity to play, get some games in, and we'll go from there. And you know, turning a bad situation into a good one, all around with the way things have gone with COVID and. Here he is getting a chance. Maybe he's going to play some games at the pro level and go from there. It's good.
Oh, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Edmonton Oilers, I think they're in the air as we speak right now, taking on the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow. A week off for the Oilers, so they'll be well-rested, no question about it. But Connor asks us this question. There's 14 games remaining. Assuming everybody stays healthy, how many starts does Mike Smith get out of those 14 games?
Eight or nine. At least eight or nine. I mean, he wants to be in a regular groove, I would think, and he wants to play as much as possible. And then at the same time, I'm sure Dave Tippett wants to keep Mikko Koskinen sharp, and that means having him involved to a certain extent. And then when the schedule gets a little bit crazy in May now, after today's announcement, maybe that's where you see a little bit more Koskinen. I don't know if we're even going to see Stalock, but you got the back-to-back on the 3rd and 4th with Vancouver. Then you've got the two games against the Habs, which are, you know, you've got the day between games on the 10th and the 12th. Maybe you get Koskinen into one of those ones, maybe on the Monday. And then I'm looking at the rest of the month. I mean, man, it feels like we haven't been talking about an Oilers game in forever. I know it's only been a week, but you got another back-to-back coming up between Winnipeg and Calgary, 28th and 29th. You get Koskinen in one of those starts. So, yeah, eight or nine for Smith. Maybe sneak another one in for Koskinen and get him into a good groove and let him continue to ride the hot hand the way it's going.
I can't see Dave Tippett going into Winnipeg and just, you know, loading everybody up and putting his two big gunners on the same line. I got to think he splits them up, at least to start the game. And then if it's not going, then he goes back to it. What do you think?
I think that's the most logical way to look at it. You've got Scheifele, Dubois, Lowry down the middle. Oh, by the way, that fourth line is pretty good, too, and can come back and bite you at times with Thompson, Harkins, and Lewis. That's just an honest work-pale gang that that'll grind down the defense and give you some honest minutes. If you go into Winnipeg tomorrow and you have Draisaitl, McDavid together, Greggs, I mean, no offense to the other three lines, and I like what Jujhar Khaira has been doing. Devin Shore has been playing well as well, but those two are split up. At least they have been since in the last couple of days watching practice down at the rink. But if you have the McDavid-Draisaitl combination together and you expect them to tilt the ice, like they probably would, but then the other three lines are going at the Dubois line, the Lowry line, you're getting caved in every second shift, I think. And unless those other three lines for the Oilers are playing well above their usual capabilities, you're asking for trouble. So absolutely, split up McDavid-Draisaitl. Try to be as balanced as possible and go up against the three really strong lines from the Jets. And then keep in mind, too, I mean, every time the Oilers kill off a penalty, who are the first two guys out of the gate from Dave Tippett? It's 97 and 29 with usually either Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, something like that. And if they're trailing in a game and chasing a game late in the game, those two are out there together quite a bit in the last 5 to 10 minutes as well. So, yeah, you got to split them up, I think. That's the most logical thing. And we heard Dave Tippett be a little bit coy with things because he was asked, you know, are you going to stick with those two together? And he's like, ah, we'll see. So I'm sure they'll be split up.
Yeah, it would make sense. Now, Tommy, we got some numbers from Sports Logic in regards
yes.
to zone entries and zone exits and everything. I put the article together. Did anything jump out at you about those?
Chris Russell. My goodness, man. Chris Russell's numbers really surprised me. And now it kind of snapped into place in my mind with you always going, well, don't count out Chris Russell. Hey, Chris Russell's having a good, surprisingly good year. And every time you said it, I look at those numbers. I'm like, yeah, there it is. That's what Gregor was looking at. And among other things, but he has some interesting numbers there. And Adam Larson as well, how well he's done in terms of effectiveness and getting the puck out. Because quite honestly, his MO, especially if you ask, you know, every Oiler fan around here what you think of Adam Larson, they don't really think of him as a guy who effectively gets the puck out of his own zone. But those numbers, when you take a deep dive, actually suggest he's efficient at getting the puck out.
Well, yeah, when he does it, right? Like his zone exits, he doesn't have a lot of them, but when he does carry it out, he was quite effective. And that's why I really liked it, because I asked him to include both, because his zone exit success rate is 91%, which is like fifth best in the NHL. But he's 139th when it actually comes to zone exits, right? Whereas a guy like, you know, Chris Russell is 19th, which blows my mind. Right.
Yeah.
That he's like, I knew that Chris Russell's a good skater. Like and that's usually the good skaters are the ones who are carrying the puck out of the zone more. Nurse is 14th. You know, Russell, Tyson Berry's in the top, like a top pair defenseman. You know, he's 58th in that regard. You know, he's 82.5%. Him and Bear are very similar. Both of those guys are good at carrying the puck out. Berry just does it way more. That's the only difference. And then, you know, when it comes to, you know, zone entries, Barry does it a lot, but Bear is more effective when he does it, right? Barry isn't that effective, funny enough, when he enters the zone. But he does it way more than Bear. And that, like, the two things that stood out for me was Ethan Bear clearly is that when he handles the puck, he makes good decisions. There's no question about that.
Yep.
But he doesn't carry it out of the zone or into the zone as much. And to me, that's a skating conditioning thing that could improve on. Because you've got to be able to have the legs and the cardio to go up the ice lots. Like, watch how we had Caleb Jones on last Friday talking about how he watches Barry and just how he engages in the rush and when he does it. Right now, that's not carrying the puck out. That's also engaging. But if there's are things that I look at what Barry does that Bear and other guys want to incorporate in their game, that's it, right? Because Barry's always carrying the puck up. Hey, you know, you don't have to look at him. You're not going to say, hey, what does Tyson Barry do defensively? Other than Barry's good at being in the battle. Now, that might be because he turns the puck over a little bit too much, right? Like 12%, although, you know, Bear's at 9%. So we're talking 1% difference. It's not a massive one. But Barry does, he actually wins a lot of his puck battles in the defensive zone, funny enough.
And that's one of the stats that I saw where he's 26th in D-zone puck battle wins. And it's funny, watching him more and more this year, you see him, Todd McClellan always used this term, and I kind of like it. It's get in the opponent's equipment and dig in, because Barry's not the biggest guy, but there's a lot of fight in him, and he gets in there. And yes, sometimes it is due to the fact he did something, some of his shortcomings in the defensive zone, but at least he gets right back in there and he tries to win back the puck. And he kind of has that, let's call it a pit bull mentality where he fights for it. And that's another stat. And I'm glad you pointed it out where you're like, geez, he does fight and he is maybe a little bit better than you thought in his own zone when it comes to digging for pucks.
Yeah, he battles. It's good. Now, you know, his turnover ratio, you'd like a little bit less for sure. But guys who have the puck usually are the ones who turn it over more. I think that's something that should be,
absolutely
should be mentioned, right? You look at the leaders in the NHL, the best forwards are usually the guys who have the puck more. They're the ones who have the most turnovers. There's no question about that. Tom Gazzola joins us at Edmonton Sports Leader. TSN 1260. A few other things, Tommy. Bill Belichick, happy 69th.
Yes. Yes. The best coach in NFL history, I think it's safe to say, absolutely. And Julian Edelman, I don't know if people follow him or see the stuff that he's been doing. He's got his own YouTube channel. He talks about one of his strange encounters with Bill Belichick. Surprisingly, or perhaps not surprisingly, Belichick puts in a lot of time at the team's training facilities, and Edelman was leaving one day in his like rookie season, really early in his career. It was like 11 o'clock, and sure enough, lights were out except for in the gym, and there's Belichick watching tape with his notebook on a treadmill. And then Edelman was putzing around a little bit more, and he happened to walk by the sauna and the steam room and the hot tub. And it clearly indicated that you had to wear your swim trunks in the hot tub and all the pool area. Belichick gets out, and he's buck naked. And he walks by Edelman. He's like, "Jules, how's it going?" And Edelman does this impersonation of Belichick that's spot on. And then on top of that, Edelman's describing this. He's like, "I didn't want to get into a conversation with my coach. I'm just starting out with this team. This guy's intimidating. How many Super Bowls does he have already?" And sure enough, they're finally both leaving the facility at the same time. And Edelman, you know, you feel that anxiety where you feel like you have to say something to this person because, A, it's his coach. So he's like, "Well, have a great night, Bill." And he turns around and he's like, "Yeah, sure beats being a plumber, doesn't it?" And you're like, wow. So strange. Some of the most brilliant minds in all of sports, and they could be socially awkward, but you look at them and the genius is all on the field, not so much in how they interact with one another. But happy 69th birthday, Bill Belichick. He can do whatever the hell he wants at the Patriots training facilities after that much success.
Tommy, have yourself a good weekend. I got a pregame show coming up tomorrow with you and Connor Halley at 3:30. Have a good one.
Greg's, have a good weekend, my friend.